Cool. I'm going to grab this if you don't mind. Yeah. That should work. Awesome. Hey, well, I'm excited to speak to you guys tonight again to continue in our series. It's all right, Harlan. We'll figure it out, brother. Talking about the transformed life. And man, this is something that has completely transformed my life. And how many of you guys know that transformation, when transformation takes part, there's no going back to how you used to be? And it all starts with you seeing who you truly are. Because, I mean, you can go back, and that's your choice. But if you see who you truly are, thanks, bro, then there's no going back, you know? And so that's what we've been covering. And last week, you know, we talked about how we've been completely set free from the power of sin and death over our lives. And we even looked at scriptures that said that those who are born of God can no longer sin. And so yes, it is true according to scripture that we can live a sinless life. But then we also cover, man, you know, you have those people who are like, well, brother, what are you saying, that you're perfect, you're always going to be perfect, you're never going to sin? Basically, you know. But I'm not saying that's anything of me, but I'm saying that simply through Jesus Christ and his finished work that, yeah, I'm capable of living a sinless life. But, you know, we also got to remember that our lives are a life of repentance as well. So if you want to live a sinless life, then you have to learn to live a repentive life as well. Because if your slate has been wiped clean and your sin is being remembered no more, that God is not looking at you and seeing your sin, he's seeing his son. If you keep that in mind, then what you'll realize is that when you do mess up, then you go before the Father, you go before the throne of grace with confidence. You go before the throne of grace knowing that there's no fear. And that's what scripture says. It says perfect love casts out all fear. Fear of what? Fear of judgment. So I can go before the Father and say, look, I understand you already know what I did, but here's what I did. I'm sorry about that. And we're not asking God to excuse our sin. We're not doing that at all, but we're coming before him with forgiveness and seeking forgiveness, not to be excused for the things that we do, because sometimes we just operate out of the flesh. So yeah, we live a life of repentance, but we do that by the grace of God. We do that because of what Jesus has done for us. And so tonight, yeah, we're going to share a little bit about who we are, but we're also going to dive into renewing our mind. Because you know that we can't live the way that God intends us for us to live, still thinking the old way. We have to think a new way. That's just what it boils down to. But you can't, how can you think a new way, church, if you don't know the truth? Because scripture says it's the truth that sets you free. And the truth that you know is what's going to set you free. So if you don't know the truth, then how can you be set free? You've got to know the truth. Let's jump here. And I put the wrong message in the computer. Yeah, this is part one. It's part two. It should be right underneath it. I'm sorry, guys. Like, I put this in myself and I messed this up. Good thing it was me and nobody else. It should be right underneath. Ah, look at you guys are amazing. That's exactly what I needed. You know what's funny? Okay, let's keep going. Romans 12, chapter 1. Popular scripture. I'm reading out of the Passion Translation. Here's what it says. Beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be his sacred living sacrifices, and to live in holiness, experiencing all that delights his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life. So you see, it's about renewing our mind. Scripture says that you present yourself to God a living and holy sacrifice, that this is your true expression of worship. And if you were here last week, we read in Romans chapter 6 that says, do not present your members as an opportunity to sin. So we're supposed to present ourselves to God as a living and holy sacrifice. Every single day, we renew our mind. We don't conform to the ideals and opinions of the culture around us. Because that's really easy to do. Am I right? I mean, think about it. The media, the news, everything that goes on, it's really easy to fall into those traps and to start believing lies. It's really easy to believe lies about yourself, lies that the accuser will come in and try to lie to you. It's really easy to believe those things. You know, but church, if we understand who we are, if we understand that we've been set free from the life of sin and death, then renewing our mind should be something that comes naturally. Let's continue. Oh, there you go. Satisfying, perfect in his eyes. Verse 3. God has given me a grace to speak a warning about pride. That word right there. That'll get you. I would ask each of you to be emptied of self-promotion and not create a false image of your importance. Instead, honestly assess your worth by using your God-given faith as a standard of measurement, and then you will see your true value with an appropriate self-esteem. There you go. That's it. We can go home. We can go home now. How many times do we do this? How many times do we create a false image of our importance? How many times do we live for ourselves when the gospel is not about living for you? The gospel is about living for Jesus. And so what we do is we create this false image in our head, and we think we're important. We think that we're too important to love somebody. That's pride. That's a false image of yourself. Yeah. See, but we need to be assessing ourselves, assessing your worth. You know what you're worth? You're worth the blood of Jesus. Amen. So every day you wake up, you assess your worth. Every day you wake up knowing that you are worth the blood. You're transforming the way that you think. You don't wake up expecting to fail. You wake up knowing that the blood is yours. Yeah. Then you will see yourself with a true value, with an appropriate self-esteem. Come on, you really want to know who you are? Then stop looking at you. Look at Jesus. Look at him. Renew your mind. Renew your thought process. Change the way that you think. That's repentance. It's changing your mind. You change the way that you think. You change the way that you live it. It should be something that we do, right? We're not supposed to look like the world, though we're in it. Yeah. Scriptural. Come on, church. We don't need to be full of pride. Man, we got to love people. You know, listen, I'm going to say this in love, okay? But it's pride whenever you're only doing as good as your day is going. That's not a transformed life. That's not changing the way that you think. How are you, if you're only doing as good as your day is going, then we're missing the point. We should be doing as good as he is in us. Yeah. Always. That's changing the way that you think. That's renewing your mind. That's a transformed life. Because if I live that way, if I live my life expecting people to owe me something, then I'm living life wrong, because I'm living life for myself, and I'm putting a false self-esteem in me. Remember, the only thing that you owe anybody is to love them. I love Matthew chapter 5. It says, this is what's cool about Jesus, okay? Jesus is changing the way that we think. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, see, he's changing the way that you think. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. That's changing the way that you think. This is the life that we're supposed to live. To love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. so that you may be, I love this, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good and sends rain on the just and on the unjust. In other translations, this says so that people will see that you're God's children. If we don't love, how do people see that we're children of the Father? Because then we look exactly like them. There's no difference. For if you love those who love you, then what reward do you have? That right there speaks for itself. If you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? What good is there in that? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? He's talking about sinful people. Remember, that's not who we are anymore. And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? He says, do not even Gentiles do the same? Come on, church. People that don't know God know how to do good for somebody. Don't you think that we should know how to do more? Because we imitate the Father? You, therefore, must be perfect. Oh, man. As your heavenly Father is perfect. Well, what does that, listen, there it is, but what does that mean? Listen, what it means here, what he says by perfect, he means to be made complete, to be mature. That's tough to swallow. I mean, think about it. When you don't operate in love, you're operating in immaturity. And you're saying that you're not complete in the Father. We must be complete. We must be mature just as Jesus and just as the Father is. This will explain it. For he is the complete fullness of deity living in human form. And our own completeness is now, completeness is found in him. And we are made complete in Jesus. Jesus completes you. Jesus perfected you. After the Spirit, okay? We are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Come on, church. Jesus completes us. He makes you complete. He makes you whole. There is nothing missing in your life. If there's voids in your life, then you need to look to the Father. Seriously. Man, if you're feeling lonely in your life, man, look to Jesus. James chapter 1, I got a lot of scriptures, and so I'm doing my flash thing again. My fellow believers, when it seems as though you are facing nothing but difficulties, can I get a witness? Come on, right? See it as an invaluable opportunity. Remember, it's not an opportunity unless you take it to experience the greatest joy that you can. So what is James saying? He's saying that you can have joy in the difficult situations. That means that you don't do as good as your day is going. You do a whole lot better. Why is it a surprise to us, church, that we shouldn't... I'm wording this wrong. What I'm saying is this, is that when you're squeezed, nothing but Jesus should come out. But so many times we just want to step back into that old man and just kick it and cuss at it. Listen, been there, done that, bought the t-shirt, okay? Yes, I'm a pastor, I just said that. Okay, but listen, when we're squeezed, Jesus should come out. Period. It should be natural. For you know that when your faith is tested, it stirs up power within you to endure all things. Come on, church. Don't build your house during a storm. You're supposed to build it before the storm comes. And then as your endurance grows, Even stronger, it will release, oh, there's that word again. It will release perfection into every part of your being until there is nothing missing and nothing lacking. What other versions, here's what another version says, is that, brethren, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, and perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, lacking nothing. There's those two words again. That's perfection. You're mature and you're complete and you lack nothing. Why? Because you have faith. Faith in the finished work. You're transforming your mind. You're renewing your mind. You're changing the way that you think about things. Romans chapter 8, verse 5. Those who are motivated by the flesh, this is going to hurt, church, only pursue what benefits themselves. But those who live by the impulses of the Holy Spirit are motivated to pursue spiritual realities. So it's pretty clear that when pride comes, selfishness comes, that you're not operating after the Spirit. You're operating in the flesh. Then you may be asking yourself, what does this have to do with transforming your mind? Well, we're renewing our mind to walk after the Spirit. See, because it does start with some self-awareness. Like, if you see yourself and you look at yourself, sometimes do you just catch yourself like, whoa, I don't usually do that. I don't usually respond that way. Like, that's good. That's a good thing. Like, because you're realizing that, man, that's not who I am. That's how it should be. For the mindset of the flesh is death. But the mindset controlled by the Spirit finds life and peace. Look, I don't know about you, but I don't want to operate in a mindset of death. See, but that's what happens, church, when your mind isn't renewed by the Word of God, when your mind isn't renewed by the truth. Because then we start falling back into the old man, into the selfish living, and then we start, you ever wonder why, take a look at your life and you're like, man, why is it just spiraling out of control? Well, maybe you're doing something wrong. I mean, I know the Word says that we're faced with difficulties and tribulations and trials, but how are you responding to those? Are you falling into negativity? Are you murmuring and complaining? Because the only when you murmur and when you complain and when you don't renew your mind and change your thoughts, what happens is that you start murmuring and complaining, and then you find yourself back in bondage and under slavery of the old way of doing things. And it only reaps death. You see, but I want to live a life of life and peace. That's a whole lot better than reaping death. I want to reap life and I want to reap peace. So what am I going to do? I'm going to sow good thoughts. I'm going to sow good things. I'm going to change my mind. I'm going to transform the way that I think. I'm going to renew it daily by the word of the Father. Come on, church. It's the truth that sets you free. In fact, the mindset focused on the flesh fights God's plan, and it refuses to submit to his direction because it cannot. For no matter how hard they try, God finds no pleasure with those who are controlled by the flesh. Ouch. But why do you think that is? I mean, because Scripture says that without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what is that saying? I believe that what it's saying is that when you don't have faith, when you're controlled by the flesh, you're not allowing yourself to believe in the finished work of the cross. You're not operating in who you truly are, and you're operating in who you used to be. Come on, we need to operate in who we truly are, and who God says that we are, and who God created us to be. Well, we're created in his image and likeness. Come on, let's operate in the Spirit. But when the Spirit of Christ empowers your life, you are not dominated by the flesh, but by the Spirit. And if you are not joined to the Spirit of the Anointed One, you are not of Him. Now, Christ lives His life in you, and even though your body may be dead because of the effects of sin, His life-giving Spirit imparts life to you because you are fully accepted by God. Amen. Fully accepted by the Father. Yes, God raised Jesus to life, and since God's Spirit of resurrection lives in you, He will also raise your dying body to life by the same Spirit that breathes life into you. So then, beloved ones, the flesh has no claims on us at all, and we no further have obligation to live in obedience to it. Come on, the Scripture is just simply teaching for itself. It's speaking for itself. Because at one point in our lives, when we operated in the old man, we had no choice. Sin was sin, no matter what you did. But now through Jesus, I mean, sin is still sin, but what I'm saying is through Jesus, we have no obligation. There's no have to. There's no have to go back into the old way of living. There is no have to do that at all. We've been completely set free, and now we just need to simply operate and be in obedience to the Spirit and to Jesus. For when you lived controlled by the flesh, you are about to die. But if the life of the Spirit puts to death, that's good, the corrupt ways of the flesh, we then taste His abundant life. Come on, we have to put to death the corrupt ways of the flesh. But you have to see it first. You have to put it to death. You have to see it. You have to know it. Come on, the old you is dead. You are dead. You are not you. Jesus is in you. He is you. The mature children of God are those who are motivated by the impulses of the Holy Spirit. And you did not receive the Spirit of religious duty, leading you back into the fear of never being good enough. Listen, you think that coming to church makes you a Christian? That's religious duty. And what does that mean? That means it leads you back to the fear of never being good enough. Listen, we need to stop trying to be good and stop trying to do good and just be it. Yeah. Just become so in love with Jesus that that's all that comes out. Because if seriously, religious duty, that you're just falling back under bondage. Just because you come to church doesn't mean that you know God. And you've heard it said, just because you sit in the garage doesn't make you a car. Come on, church. Seriously. Come on. Listen, if you have fear of never being good enough, then you're living the wrong way. You have to know that you have been accepted by God. Some of you may not know that. Listen, you have been accepted by God. But you don't understand, you have been accepted by God. There's no trying to measure up anymore. Come on, yeah, Jesus set the standard so high for people. He says if you even look at a woman the wrong way, you commit adultery. He says if you have hate in your heart, you commit murder. What's He doing? He's trying to change the way that we think. He's setting the bar so high that we're never going to reach it unless we believe in Him. Listen, church, you measure up. You measure up. Now you just got to remind yourself about that. Wake up every day and say, I measure up. Wake up every day and just declare victory over your life. Wake up every day and don't beg God and don't complain to God and don't ask God why everything is going wrong and don't ask God why nothing good has happened or why He hasn't done what you asked. I mean, that's not transforming the way that you think. Come on, we need to wake up and we need to declare victory. We need to wake up and know that we have been made right. We need to wake up and know that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Come on, scriptures. Know the truth. Know that you're more than a conqueror. Know that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of God. Know the scriptures in Romans chapter 8 that says, where are your accusers? Who accuses you? No one can condemn you. No one can separate you. Who is pointing their finger at you? See, what we don't realize, church, is that a lot of the times we do these things to ourselves. And it's simply because we don't know who we are. We don't know what he's done. But you have received the spirit of full acceptance. Praise God. Enfolding you into the family of God, and you will never feel orphaned. Come on, we have a father. And because we're accepted by him, we'll never feel like we don't. For as he rises up within us, our spirits join in him, saying these words of tender affection, beloved Father. Galatians chapter 5. Sorry, I'm trying to hurry. Beloved ones, God has called us to live a life of freedom in the Holy Spirit. But don't view this wonderful freedom as an opportunity to set up a base of operations in the natural realm. Freedom means that we have become so completely free of self-indulgence that we become servants of one another, expressing love in all that we do. Come on, our lives, Christianity, being believers, it's about serving one another, expressing love in everything that we do, is imitating the Father. And Jesus showed us a perfect way to do that. But unless we renew our minds, this is difficult to do. If you read in Romans chapter 7, Paul talks about the struggle. I mean, he lays it all out. And he says that we're at war, that our spirit is at war with our minds. He says, and I do what I don't want to do, but what I don't want to do, I do it, and I do what I hate, and I don't want. And he goes through all this stuff, and you're just like, man, what? It's a little confusing. See, but Paul knows where his identity lies. Because he says, I'm a wretched man, but who will save me from this? Who will save me from myself? He says, only Jesus. Come on, Jesus will save you from you. That's the truth. This is pretty practical about how to renew our minds, how to change the way that you think. It says in Philippians chapter 4, be cheerful with joyous celebration in every season of life. Let joy overflow, for you are united with the Anointed One. Let gentleness be seen in every relationship, for our Lord is ever near. Don't be pulled in different directions or worried about a thing. Be saturated in prayer throughout each day. Offering your faith-filled requests before God with overflowing gratitude. Tell him every detail of your life. Do you notice, church, it does not say to offer your murmuring and complaining requests before God, overflowing with non-gratitude, okay? So we just got to, I'm sure that somebody can tell if your mind is renewed by the way that you pray. Seriously. What do you pray? How do you pray? Who do you pray to? Do we pray are we Christians so that our needs can be met? And we pray for our needs to be met? And then when our needs aren't met, then again, we're only doing as good as our day is going? Or do we pray continuously, making our requests before God overflowing with gratitude, a faith-filled prayer? Think about it. I love what this says next. It says, and then God's wonderful peace that transcends human understanding will make the answers known to you through Jesus Christ. Listen, a peace will come to you. I mean, it's really easy to not see God in the difficult situations, but he's in you. So keep your thoughts, that's your mind, continually fixed on all that is authentic and real. So once you pray, church, you don't go back to the old way of thinking. You keep your thoughts continually fixed on all that is authentic and real and honorable and admirable, beautiful and respectful, pure and holy, merciful and kind. Fasten your thoughts on every glorious work of God, praising him always. Notice there is nothing about complaining in there. There is nothing in there that's negative. But we're fixing our eyes, we're fixing our thoughts on the truth, on the Word of God. Come on, we've got to renew our minds. That's what this is about. It's changing the way that you think. You change the way that you think, you change the way that you pray. Then you also change the way that you live. I gotta hurry. This is my last one, by the way. So, with the wisdom given to me from the Lord, I say to you, you should not live like the unbelievers around you who walk in their empty delusions. That's good. Come on, we're Christians. So we should not live like the unbelievers around us. Yet we're shocked when an unbeliever says something or does something. It's natural for them. They don't know God. An unbeliever doesn't know who God is. They're just going to live how they always lived, indulging in themselves. But unless they can see us indulging in the Father, man, that's good. Their corrupted logic has been clouded because their hearts are far from God. Their blinded understanding and deep-seated moral darkness keeps them from true knowledge of God. Listen, we're not here. We have true knowledge of the Father. Because of spiritual apathy, they surrender their lives to lewdness, impurity, and sexual obsession. But this is not the way of life that Christ has unfolded within you. Now he's talking about us. If you have really experienced the Anointed One and heard his truth, it will be seen in your life. Wow. Listen, church, I know plenty of people who have prayed the prayer, but you see no fruit of righteousness in them. Uh-oh. So that should be proof that the gospel is not about making it into heaven. Even though heaven is a benefit of the gospel, it should be about becoming like him, walking in his truth for people seeing God in us. Heaven's a great benefit. Eternal life is a great benefit. I'm super excited for that. I'm grateful that I'm never going to die. But I first have to die to myself. And he has taught you to let go of the lifestyle of the ancient man, the old self life, which was corrupted by sinful and deceitful desires that spring from delusions. Now it's time to be made new by every revelation that has been given to you, and to be transformed as you embrace the glorious Christ within you as your new life and live in union with him. That's what it's about. For God has recreated you all over again in his perfect, there's that word is again, completeness, maturity, righteousness, and you now belong to him in the realm of true holiness. So discard every form of dishonesty and lying so that you will be known as one who always speaks the truth, for we all belong to one another. But don't let the passion of your emotions lead you to sin. Don't present your members to sin, okay? Do not let anger control you or be your fuel for revenge, not even for a day. Don't give the slanderous accuser, the devil, he's defeated, by the way, an opportunity to manipulate you. If any one of you has stolen from someone else, never do it again. Instead, be industrious, earning an honest living, and then you'll have enough to bless others in need. And that's good. And never let ugly or hateful words come from your mouth, but instead let your words become a beautiful gifts that encourage others. Do this by speaking words of grace to help them. Come on, church, we're talking about unbelievers. The Holy Spirit of God has sealed you in Jesus Christ until you experience your full salvation. So, never grieve the Spirit of God or take for granted His holy influence in your life. Lay aside bitter words, temper tantrums, revenge, profanity, and insults, but instead be kind and affectionate toward one another. Has God graciously forgiven you? Then graciously forgive one another in the depths of Christ's love. Come on, that right there will just speak for itself. That's renewing your mind. That's renewing your mind. If you're tempted to steal, don't. Stop. Work your rear end off and bless somebody. That's grace. That's grace. I got to wrap it. I'm okay. I'm done. Come on, church. Let's stand to our feet. Let's pray. Come on, this is our lives. Our lives should be perfect pictures of Jesus every single day. So don't give in to your emotions. You've heard it a lot, man. Your emotions will lie to you, and they will. But if we're operating after the Spirit, if we're operating in our newness of life, in our recreated nature, then don't give in to that. You don't have to. Got to have self-control. And that's with anything and everything in life. Yeah, but we've got to renew our mind to the Word of God. We cannot be transformed and conformed to the ideals and patterns of the world, the Scripture says. Because the world will tell you a lot of good things, but they're not God things. Just because something sounds good doesn't mean it's always God. That's why we have to renew our mind. We have to change the way that we think, because as you saw in Scripture, it says that those who are mature follow the impulses of the Holy Spirit. Come on, listen. Sometimes that new job sounds great. But are you always murmuring and complaining about your old job? I mean, can I just be real? Can we not just be Jesus in every environment that we're in and cultivate the culture and be love? Come on, we've got to pray. We've got to listen to God. We've got to change the way that we think every single day. And it all starts with knowing who you are, knowing what you're worth. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your goodness. God, we thank you for the blood of Jesus, and we thank you that that blood has cleansed us and purified us from all sin and all unrighteousness, God. I thank you that, Father, that because of the blood, that because of the finished work, that we can live a completely free life, that we can live a life surrendered to you wholly, Father. And I just thank you that we would continue to live those lives, Father, that we would seek after that life. Father, live a life of freedom. And Lord, I just thank you for everyone that is here. Father, I thank you that our lives are being transformed every day by the word that is brought to us every week. And may the Lord bless you, the Lord keep you, the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. Well, hey, church, if you guys need anything, our ministry team will be down here to pray for you, to believe with you on anything. So don't leave this place without receiving your miracle.